Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming us online. We appreciate you turning in. Today is Sunday, July 23rd, 2017, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here to chat with Robert Stanley regarding his podcast, The Right to Reason, a show that interviews prominent free thinkers like Michael Shermer, Dan Barker, and Matt Dillahunty, while also debating pastors, flat earthers, and creationists. We'll also be chatting about our opinions on current events, both locally and nationally. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at atheisttalk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can always email or tweet whether we're live or whether you're listening to the podcast later. Robert Stanley, good morning, and welcome to Atheist Talk. Oh, looks like we're heading to a minor difficulty.
Are you there, Hertzy?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know, I called in because I heard you talking about the Satanic Temple.
Yes.
And I heard you talking about Belle Plaine.
Yes.
And I just wanted to pipe in, like, my thought was, like, you know, I've driven by that park a lot. And, I mean, this isn't new to anybody. It's a veterans park. It's meant to be for veterans. We're supposed to go there and appreciate, you know, everybody that has died for the country and whatnot and served for the country.
Yes.
And I just felt like, you know, that the Christian symbol that was there was like, okay, only these Christians kind of, these are the only ones we're going to honor.
Yeah.
And I saw Lucian Greaves on, I think he was on one of those Fox TV shows.
Oh, yeah, I think because I know I saw that on Facebook. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I thought he was very articulate. And he was even saying, like, look, and I don't want to accuse the man of being dishonest. That was what the host was doing. But he was saying, you know, we were kind of upset that they changed their mind and we can't put this monument there. And I was actually happy they changed their mind, even though I thought the monument was a fantastic monument that they had. It was very respectful and I thought did a great job of honoring the veterans. But I was actually happy that they ended up reversing that decision and saying, you know, we're not going to have any religious monuments there.
You know, and I have to agree with you on that. You know, it's the monument that the Christians put up. I mean, if you take off the cross, it at least was, you know, respectful in a more secular way. But they seem to have this idea that they had to have that cross there. And so it's one of those where it's like, well, I guess what we need to do is we need to just, you know, make this not a place for that, for those kind of monuments. You know, if they want to put a secular monument up, that's fine. Most of them, you know, if you look around, there's a lot of secular monuments up there.
Yeah, and they can be very, and they can be tasteful, and they can be very inclusive, and, you know, you can bring people together. Like, just giving yourself a monument to allow people to reflect, to allow people to remember, I mean, which is what I thought was already there to begin with. I think walls with names of people who served are fantastic ways. You know, they have, if I recall, there's a really big helicopter at that park, too. And I just didn't see any need to have an extra monument.
I know. It's just one of those, it's like, that'd be like putting something extra over at the state capitol. You know, they have some beautiful monuments up there, and there's some monuments near the capitol and such that are, you know, lovely. They're big, imposing. They kind of give that oomph. You know, it's like we don't need to add a, well, these are the ones we want to specifically because they actually have the right symbol.
Right, right. Hey, do I have a second to geek out over a movie I just saw last night?
Absolutely.
And it has everything to do with Atheist Talk because I'm watching this movie. I went and saw Valerian last night.
Oh, how is it?
It was gorgeous, but not very good.
Oh.
But, like, right away, like, this movie is supposed to take place 400 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was Godspeed, God bless, God this and God that. And I'm not stupid. I know that 400 years in the future, there's probably still going to be God belief.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, really? Like, we're still using the same, and granted, it's a movie, so, you know. But, like, there's so little imagination that we're still saying God bless. And it wasn't just like, the way you say God bless, like as a just like, you know, something, God bless you when somebody sneezes, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was meant that there was a supernatural, that there was an ethereal being that was looking out for them, and, you know, all of the kind of, you know, everything that goes with when they say God, what they meant was God, the way we would.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to whine about that.
No, that's fine. I was going to say, it's interesting you talk about how it's 400 years in the future. Two weekends ago, I was at Convergence, and we had a panel about religion in the future and what we think religion in the future was going to look like. And it was just absolutely fascinating. It was a panel with myself, PZ Myers. We had a pagan woman, and then another gent who, unfortunately, I didn't know his religion, but it was absolutely fascinating, and it was great, and I kind of want to see if I can do something like that here. Well, please stay with us through the break. We'll return to Atheist Talk. Hopefully, we'll be able to get our guest, Robert Stanley, on. So thank you so much, and stick with us.
Listen to A Woman's Place every weekend on AM 950 to hear about progressive issues from a woman's perspective. Coming up this week, Representative Ray Dean is stopping by A Woman's Place to talk about his campaign for mayor of Minneapolis and to give us his take on the Justine Damon tragedy. Listen every week to A Woman's Place, where all issues are women's issues, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. Podcast anytime at am950radio.com.
You already know that STEM offers a unique collection of wine produced by boutique wineries from around the world, signature martinis, craft cocktails, artisan beer, and delicious small plates. Now join STEM for brunch from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. During brunch, STEM offers exotic mimosas like passion fruit and mango, mouth-watering menu items including bananas Foster French toast, crab Benedict, avocado toast, and hazelnut beignets. STEM looks forward to seeing you for brunch. Located at 24 University Avenue Northeast and online at stemminneapolis.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems by meeting times and locations, and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours, and ours alone.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz. Today's guest is Robert Stanley from the podcast The Right to Reason. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening that immediately following this program, you can listen to the American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production of the American Atheists. So stick around, and remember, you can always catch the American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved with the conversation with Robert this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at atheisttalk. We do have a couple announcements quick. Our donors of the week is Nancy. Nancy, I just want to thank you and all of our wonderful donors for keeping us on the air. So, Robert, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Yay! I am so sorry about the technical difficulties this morning.
Oh, no, not at all. In light of that, though, I understand there might be some employment availability for a sound guy with your company. And, you know, I'm out of Texas, so if there's any relocation possibilities, I will. I'm cheap. I'll take payment by Bitcoin or snacks. I can get paid by snacks if need be.
Snacks? I was going to say, we might be able to go with snacks.
No, I'm just kidding, though. It's fine. It happens to the best of us. Happy to be here.
Awesome. I was going to say, at least you didn't get to listen to me floundering, trying to go,
yeah, I missed all that.
Good. Well, let's start with your podcast. So when did you get the itch to start up your podcast?
Well, I've always wanted to. Well, ever since I became an atheist, I came right out of a fundamentalist, kind of evangelical childhood. So whenever I transitioned to atheist, like I'm sure a lot of your listeners, I transitioned with that same kind of evangelical zeal. So I always wanted to get the message out there. I just kind of changed the message. So I would say a couple months ago. I've only been doing this for 3 months now.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, because I took a look at the podcast and listened to a couple episodes, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I just copied you guys, so you get all the credit. It was a couple months back, and I thought, you know, I need to get this out there, and the wife really encouraged me to do so. And
oh, that's good. And,
I said, yeah, she's a sweetheart, and I said, you know what, let's just go with it. Let's see what happens. And I've just been really, well, I don't want to use the term blessed. See, that's those old Christian roots coming back. I've been blessed. I've been very fortunate to have some great guests like Barker and Dillahunty. I just got to talk to Michael Shermer this week. That was a lot of fun. And it's funny, that guy starts talking, and you just shut up and listen. You know what I mean? Like, I realize I need to stop interviewing, and I need to just let him go. And he explained free will, consciousness, artificial intelligence. I mean, all sorts of stuff that was way out of my league. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, he was talking free will. I totally have somebody he needs to talk to.
That's great. Actually, well, I got a lot to learn on that one. I think we all do.
Oh, yeah. And on your podcast, you also do debating of pastors and creationists and flat earthers.
Yeah. We get all the crazies. I had a guy on the show that I didn't know he was a 9/11 truther. Right up until we just started talking, and then halfway through that, he brings up some kind of suspicious comments about whether we were ever on the moon, and I just thought, oh wow, this is getting out of control.
Oh, so my goodness!
I find with a lot of if you'll believe one thing, you'll likely believe another.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a question I asked Shermer recently: was what is skepticism exactly? And maybe you've been doing this longer than I have. Maybe you can help me out on this one.
Technically, I've only been helping with the radio show for a few months. So,
oh, okay. So we're both screwed. But, but I kind of wonder with skepticism, can you be too skeptic? You know, so I see a lot of atheists will continue. They'll say, okay, I have a doubt for God, perhaps. And then I'm going to start having doubts for, you know, organized religion and take that a step further, And sometimes they play with Taoism a little bit or some kind of Eastern philosophy because it seems to make a little more sense. And some of those are kind of atheistic as well, so they're kind of comfortable for us sometimes. And then they keep going. And at what point do you stop being skeptical and start being, I'm just not going to accept anything, and, you know, the earth is flat and lizards live in the ground beneath us? And I... I asked Sherman that question, and his answer is, it's more black and white. It's not a scale from unskeptic to skeptic, you know, or and then too skeptic if you keep going right, you know, on the scale or what mm-hmm. have you. He says it's just black and white. You're either skeptic or you're not. I mean, I'm paraphrasing horribly, but
oh yeah,
that was kind of the vibe he got.
Yeah, my dad actually has one as long as like the government conspiracies go, and his thing is the government hasn't been able to keep anything really a secret for very long. So honestly, we did probably go to the moon. We did, you know, lizards are probably not there because nobody can keep a secret that long.
Yeah, well, I mean, the most powerful man in our whole country couldn't keep a sexual secret about what happened in the Oval Office. So,
oh yeah,
it's funny. Yeah, it's who was it? Franklin that said the only way to keep a secret if you tell three people is for two of them to die.
Yep.
Or no. If you tell two people is for two people to die. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh yeah. And so here's a good question for you. Which do you prefer interviewing, the free thinkers or the conspiracy theorists and the believers?
Well, I like to debate. Just because I'm a pain in the butt kind of personality, so I have fun with those. I think interviewing fellow free thinkers, it gives us an opportunity to talk about real stuff, and I think that's something that we would all agree. After you go ahead and transition to atheism, or even if you were born in an atheist home or something, you're able to talk about the real philosophical issues and real political science issues that are important to us, and you get to skip past all this crazy mumbo jumbo that requires faith. So I would say the conversations that I have with fellow freethinkers like yourself, they're a lot more productive, but I think it's a little bit more fun to pick on somebody that's got a faith-based beliefs.
Oh yeah. Have you ever I'm guessing you've probably listened to the Be Reasonable podcast at least once.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That was going to say that. You should talk to Michael Marshall and see if you can get some of his guests on your show.
Well, thanks for the tip here. I'll take you up on that.
So what's been your favorite episode so far?
Well, the two biggest largest downloads that we've had were where I debated a creationist. And where I got to speak to Matt Dillahunty from Atheist Experience, and he's done, you know, obviously a lot of other debates and things like that. I didn't enjoy the creationist conversation per se until the next time I spoke to the guy and we started talking morality, and things kind of got down to brass tacks. Mm-hmm. You know, it got real. You know, mm-hmm. You know that point where you're talking to somebody, even if it's just on some kind of politics or whatever. And you're going back and forth, well, yes, but her emails or, you know, whatever conversation you're having. And then all of a sudden things get real and you're respectful, but you're just kind of locked into a rather passionate discussion.
All right. I got to stop you right there, Robert, though, because we got to get to our break. But we'll return with our guest, Robert Stanley, right after. Please stay with us. I'm Hertzy Hertz. Here you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday where I'll be speaking with Dr. Rob Ward, who oversees Hope House in Chanhassen, a new shelter for at-risk youth. If you know a youth who is struggling with life, or if you're the one who's struggling with a youth, this show is not to be missed. Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, perspective-changing on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone. We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Here with your AM 950 weather update, I'm Branson Coltrane. Today is going to be sunny, with some cloud coverage appearing later in the afternoon. Highs around 78, lows around 60. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale, but it ends July 31st. Guaranteed lowest prices of the year, and out-of-the-ordinary products and services. Check out their store at 2901 Franklin Avenue, East Minneapolis, or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Into AM. Thank you for tuning in for Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTFN. I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz, in studio, and we're having what I would definitely classify as a fascinating conversation with Robert Stanley. Before we continue this conversation, which will be our final segment with Robert, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. It's really important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. The radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast form, and I personally like using this show to be able to connect with interesting folks like Robert. If you're able to keep up help with donations, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or our new Patreon at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we could not do this show without you. We deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts, podcasts of previous programs. You can browse our articles, book reviews, and peruse our calendars of upcoming events. We always have a ton of activities going on all around the Twin Cities and the outlying suburbs. And with that, all that relevant and very useful information out of the way, let's get back to our conversation with Robert Stanley. Hello, Robert.
Oh, thank goodness you're back. during the break, I didn't know you had stopped and went to commercial, so I just kept talking, trying to fill dead air. It got dark and lonely. And I think at one point I gave up my checking account number. I talked about whether or not I was breastfed as a child. I just kept going deeper and deeper into the abyss, and I'm just glad you're here to guide us. So anyway, where'd we leave off?
We left off. We were talking about your podcast, but I also know we wanted to talk about a couple of recent events that have been going on, such as the Belle Plaine. Have you heard anything about that?
How cool is that? I love how these guys keep coming out every time that something – violates the First Amendment, they come right along behind them and go, hey, we'll keep violating it all you want. And it's hilarious.
All I have to say to that is phrasing. but yeah.
Well, I mean, it all started off with, didn't somebody that was a non-government representative or official put something up, and then the, correct me where I'm wrong, because I mean, this is your area, but then the county then endorsed it, or is that correct?
From what I can tell, and Steve, if you're listening, you can call and correct me on this, because I know you know more than I do. So from what I can tell, what happened was somebody put this up, and basically everyone was like, oh, it's so lovely, and it was this statue of a soldier kneeling, and then with a rifle, and then the bayonet of the rifle was a cross. And so basically it's just, it sounded like nobody was really going to do anything about it. And then somebody went to the FFRF and said, listen, public property, we need to, you know, we need at least the cross removed, you know. So their first thing was they removed the cross on the bayonet. And then people got into huge riots, and the city's like, well, okay, then what we'll do is we'll make this into a free speech zone. And that's about a week before the Satanists were actually, because they were actually, this was like some of the farthest they've gotten to, is they were actually, they had everything planned to get it set up. And all of a sudden, week before, the city's like, nope, changed our mind. Not going to do it.
Yeah. That's hilarious. And then every single time that the Church of Satan comes out, they then change their mind and say, oh, mm-hmm. okay, well, since you're going to have, you know, some kind of goat with horn statue or something, I guess we need to adjust this law. And it really yep. reveals their hypocrisy. I kind of feel like we need, I mean, the guy kneeling to a cross symbol is, I've lost people at war, basically is what that's implying.
Mm-hmm.
And while it is totally justified to oppose it, I kind of feel like, I don't know, you tell me, can't we pick our battles a little bit better, though? Like, while I love the story and I love what's happening, and this needs to happen, I wish that at least at this stage of our emergence to the public eye, why don't we just, you know, let's pick on Christmas, you know? Like let's leave the dead soldier stuff alone. That's kind of my take, but I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, for me, it's if they had just kept the cross off, and actually I did get a email from Steve saying, yes, you are correct, so yay.
Well, Steve's the man. He knows.
Well, and actually,
I mean, it's the same, like, whether it's a Jewish person or Islamic person or Christian person, that, I don't know, that's a symbol for them during a time of passing. And once again, I agree 100% that is a violation of church and state, and yes, it should be corrected. I just don't know if that's the best hill to die on, to use the metaphor.
They could have definitely gone with the free speech zone. I mean, the monument that the Temple of Satan had was absolutely beautiful, and I feel very respectful, and definitely would be there for those who are non-religious or who are a little more tongue-in-cheek with religion,
right.
Which there are those who are in the military. You know, we do have veterans and such who are atheists. I think Matt Dillahunty is a vet, mm-hmm. you know. So it's one of those where it's like, I wouldn't.
That's a good point. They're not being represented if everywhere they look that there's some reference to a passing soldier and that it's polluted by religion. So I got to hand it to you on that. That's a good point.
Yeah. I was going to say that the nativity scene, though, I know is definitely one where we've had a couple of instances in the more rural areas of Minnesota where that's come up. And every single time it's, oh, my goodness, why are you doing these things? And it's like, because we don't want representation of religion in the government.
Exactly. And while this is going on, it's easy for us to forget about how Trump just tried to get rid of the Johnson Amendment, or at least said, IRS, don't even worry about following the Johnson Amendment.
I mean,
and speaking of FFRF, I think they're suing the president for that. So
good. I mean,
yeah.
Admittedly, the Johnson Amendment, specifically with pastors who preach at the pulpit and such, I always have this thing of, well, how much has the IRS been doing.
Nothing.
I know, there's not a lot. But
never been doing a thing, you're right.
Yeah, but we had Andrew Torres on a few weeks ago, and this was something that he talked about, because the Johnson Amendment goes both ways, because this means that the churches can't become, like, basically political funding for these people at, like, kind of almost under the table, since the churches don't have to report their earnings and where stuff goes.
Yeah. You know, I had Mr. Torres on the show here pretty recently, and
he's a great guy.
Old school big Bernie fan, and he was a Hillary supporter, right? So as soon as we start talking, somehow it gets into that, and he just raked me over the coals with point after point. And at one moment of the show, I just thought, why in the world did I start arguing with a constitutional lawyer about this stuff?
But that's one of the reasons I love listening to his show and talk. And when I had him on talking with him, because I'm like, okay, you actually know the things that I don't know. You can come talk to me about accounting, because that's what I do. And I'll tell you how to set up your chart of accounts and all that fun stuff. But you're the guy I listen to when I need something about legal, especially constitution stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows his stuff. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. What other current events have been going on?
Well, you guys had that shooting recently, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was heartbreaking. What was her name? Something Diamond?
Justine. Justine. Mm. And yeah, that was, I've not really thrilled with the Twin Cities right now, which is where I've lived here my whole life. But it's one of those, when you say that, I'm almost like, which one? Because we have Justine.
Yes.
We had
was Castile also out of your state?
Yep.
I don't remember.
Philidondo Castile was. He was in Falcon Heights. Actually, I've in a spot I've driven past many, 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 many times. So it was just
wow.
Like, holy crap.
I saw somewhere there was the second time this year that someone had called 911 and then was shot thereafter.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
The first, I don't know if the first one involved humans, but there was a dog shooting actually earlier this year too, where two, I want to say they were pit bulls, were shot. And they actually just released.
And even harder to believe when the pit bulls dialed 911. I mean, obviously these were intelligent dogs and should not have been put down.
Well, technically the alarm.
This is probably not the time I should make jokes. I'm sorry.
Well,
probably not the best time to crack jokes here. But anyway.
Well, I mean, humor is a valid way of dealing with things. At least that's my opinion.
Shot in the dark.
Well, no, that's what the policeman did.
So what I found interesting was that I saw a lot of pushback from Blue Lives Matter with past shootings.
Mm-hmm.
But on this one, it was, I don't know his race, but if I'm correct here, he was not a white guy, but he did shoot a white lady.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem that there's been as much Blue Lives Matter push with this one, that there's been as much defense in the media for it. And I thought that was very peculiar.
Oh, yeah. That's been absolutely fascinating for me, because there's been no attempt to demonize Justine in any way, shape, or form, like they've tried to do, especially with Philidondo. And that was that one is just super annoying, because he's never done anything. Like, he doesn't have a criminal history. But there's no trying to demonize her and such. And it almost seems to be the opposite. It is a black man who's the police officer, and also a Muslim. So, when I'm able to remove myself a little bit, it's just absolutely like, oh, well, this is interesting how the things turn. You know?
Aside from the race spectrum, which I think is very appropriate to talk to, because as long as it's in the forefront, we're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate how, and I mean, I'm the one that brought it up, so I'm preaching myself as well here, but I hate how we de-evolve, you know, down to the race topic every time. And at the base of this, how does that even happen? How do you get called to a residence and then shoot the 911 caller, you know?
In her pajamas, may I add.
Did they have their lights off? Like, or something? Like, where they couldn't see? And Like, do you know any more about that? Because it's still a lot of mystery about this.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have about a minute left, just to give you a heads up. But I believe that he said he was startled. But that's a heck of a startling. So, Robert, before we go, I just want to say, if you want to plug where we can find your podcast and listen to more of your awesome voice.
Oh, sure. Let's see. Well, you can find all of this information at therighttoreason.com that I'm about to give you. But if you want to go to specific places, I do videos as well from the topics on my show. So you can find the Right to Reason YouTube channel. There's we're on Facebook, Twitter at Right to Reason 1. And you can also find us on patreon.com/right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love to have you join us again next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. And let's see. And yeah, I think that's it for today. Thank you so much. And stay tuned.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Buying or selling a home is the biggest financial transaction most people ever make. Your agents at Bricks Real Estate understand this and are always happy to listen and answer any questions you have. Bricks agents have the experience and tools to give you the edge with your next real estate transaction. They are locally owned and operated and here to work for you. Check them out online at BricksTwinCities.com. That's BRIXTwinCities.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your Atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, July 23rd, 2017. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week, a lot of news coming out of Kentucky. The Ark Encounter, which is a project of the folks at Answers in Genesis, which are the people who own the Creation Museum, and I'm going to put museum in scare quotes because I don't think it's actually a museum in the standard definition of things. The Ark Encounter is a massive reproduction of the biblical Noah's Ark that the Ark Encounter people intend to show as support for their notion that the Earth is only about 6,000 years old. So they are young Earth creationists. They think that dinosaurs walked among with men. They think that the whole, carbon dating and essentially every branch of geological and biological science is just made up. They're the people who hosted the debate with Bill Nye. They built this giant ark and called it a tourist attraction. They charged like $40 admission for adults and about $25 for kids. They tried to invite public school kids to attend this. Basically, the whole point of this entire thing is to defend young Earth creationism and make basically a theme park focused on young Earth creationism. Well, back when they were first proposing this, so, we're talking 2011, 2012, 2013, even into 2014, news came out that the Ark Encounter was attempting to secure millions and millions of dollars in rebates and incentives from the government of Kentucky in order to build this thing. What we ended up with them getting were about $18 million worth of sales tax rebates. So they would get refunded a large portion of any sales tax they collected from people who they sold tickets or merchandise to the tune of $18 million over the course of 10 years. They also were allowed to help in financing the construction of the Ark with some bonds, something to the tune of like $60 million. And what's happened is that the attendance and the amount of money that they promised or that they projected in their studies to determine eligibility for these tax incentives and givebacks, they haven't met those. They're just now getting to a million attendees. They were and they're more than a year in. They're about 13 months into this thing. They were anticipating closer to like 1.5 million people, I believe, within the first year. And they're not anywhere close to that. And so they're missing their projections in terms of like raising money and actually getting people in the door. But more importantly, they're not, returning on the investment that the state made in this project. They're not generating tax revenue for sales tax. They're not bringing people in for tourism. And the state and the city and the county all made substantial investments in this project. They not only promised them the $18 million in sales tax rebates, but the county and the city made investments in beefing up the transportation around the Ark, in adding highway capacity, in adding emergency services, fire trucks, police, so on and so forth. So the city wanted to start charging a fee the way the original thing was written was that they would charge a fee to any for-profit business that charged admission. And I think there were certain other, sort of minimums that they had to meet in order for this to kick in. But it was a 50-cent surcharge on every ticket that would help pay for emergency services. And the idea here is that they had to really expand their spending on emergency services. And again, that's fire, police, emergency vehicles like ambulances, that sort of thing. So a 50-cent surcharge that would be tacked on to every ticket sale. So if tickets were $40 and you charge sales tax for that, then you also tack on 50 cents and there's your final price. The thing is, the Ark Encounter said they didn't want to pay this. They didn't want to do this. They didn't want to have to foot the bill on this. And we have some interesting ideas as to why that may be. Again, if somebody's paying $40 to attend this boat, are they really going to flinch at an additional 50 cents to help pay for fire trucks? One explanation that to me makes a heck of a lot more sense is that Ken Ham and the ARC people don't want to turn over their attendance numbers. They don't want to say, all right, we've had, 750,000 attendees this year. So here's 50 cents for each one of those people. So there's $375,000. They were projecting $700,000 in income from this surcharge, meaning there's your 1.5 million attendees figure. But they're not anywhere near that. And my impression is that they, the Ark Encounter, the Answers in Genesis people, they don't want to admit. Ken Ham does not want to admit that this thing is a failure, that it's a flop, that it's not getting people through the door. And so they offered first to cap the total amount they would pay at $250,000. And then they said, okay, we'll cap it at $500,000. And the state, or excuse me, the city said, no, you're not going to do that. We're going to charge you the surcharge, and that's how it is. Well, to combat that, or as a workaround or a loophole, Ark Encounter said, all right, we're going to sell this to ourselves. We're going to sell the Ark from its for-profit controlling corporation, Ark Encounter LLC. We're going to sell it to a nonprofit that's also run by Answers in Genesis for $10. Now, this is obviously a project that they allegedly spent like 60 some odd million dollars on, and they're and the deed is for like $20 million, but they're selling it for 10 in order to get around the taxes. So since news of this broke, we've been working with the city and the county to ensure that the ordinance comports with all of the constitutional requirements, and sort of giving them some pointers and tips and how to keep an eye out for this. But nonprofits are not exempt from taxes as a matter of course. The ordinance that they originally wrote exempted nonprofits, but they're not required to. And so it's very simple. I don't think Ken Ham and his attorneys really thought this through. They claimed this nonprofit status in order to get around a tax for an ordinance that could just very easily be rewritten. But in doing so, have jeopardized their original $18 million sales tax rebate, because part of the agreement is that the state has to approve any sales to any different entities and has to reach the same agreement with any entities. And so that's where we're at right now, where they may have just cost themselves $18 million in an attempt to get around $700,000 that they could have just very easily passed along to attendees. So I think it was Hemet Mehta at Friendly Atheist said, we knew they were bad at biology, but we didn't know they were this bad at math. But there you go. That's all the time I have for this week. I want to encourage everyone to visit our website to learn more about our convention. We've got some amazing speakers, a great comedy show, a really good community of folks coming to Charleston for the eclipse on August 19th to the 21st. That's www.atheists.org/eclipse. We also are having an activism and strategy call this upcoming Tuesday. You can learn more about that at atheists.org/affiliate-call. That's atheists.org/affiliate-call. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.